Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's the Round the Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Danny Greenwood, Nando DiColo, Joey Devine, Al Frederick Hughes, Galen Nickerson, Sean Keane, Steve Lingenfelter, Byron Dinkins, Patreons, Joe Hanrahan, thank you, Joe, Bo Dooling, thank you, Bo, James Forrest, thank you, James, special guest, Bruno Passos! Musical guest, Mick Fleetwood Zoo! That's an actual SNL musical guest! And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, America's favorite opener of for Kevin Nealon. America's been rewatching 49ers Super Bowls for web content. Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Wow.
Did I cover everything that's happened to you this week?
I mean, that's pretty much what's happened to me this week. Yeah. No, I am supposed to write about Super Bowl ads. I will be visiting Las Vegas, but not attending the game.
It's really funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in Vegas for like 48 hours and don't really have any plans exactly.
Well, you have one plan, which is to bet it all on the Karate Kid slot machine.
That's true. That is a leader. Do you say anything for that? Do they play, what's that song called? You're the Best Around?
Yeah, of course they play You're the Best Around.
Wait, what am I thinking? I used a freaking slot machine before in my freaking life.
It's a good, it's like one of the good slot machines. So of course it plays all the hits real loud.
Oh, man. Sean, Mick Fleetwood Zoo, though.
Before we get to talking about all-star picks, the most boring thing in the world you can talk about, I do just want to say we don't have it on the rundown, so I'm just gonna go ahead and get this out of the way right off the bat. We had a trades.
That's right, we're talking about trades.
Slash Capspace URLs, you remember, we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. Slash Capspace, let them know that you came from us. Limited time only, terms apply.
Protected picks.
You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to Euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
If you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like they're assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right, Sean, the Houston Rockets, the team of the Twin Towers. Mm-hmm. You know, they had Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon. They played them
and
together.
Tillman Fertitta was intimately involved with the September 11th hijackers.
Well, they also had the famous Twin Tower lineup after Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon of Yao Ming and Chuck Hayes, of course. Mm-hmm.
He's more like Tower 7, Joey, but yes.
They traded for Steven Adams, question mark?
They did. So so the big hype going into the week was that the Rockets were not willing to stand pat in 11th place in the West, that they were ready to make some big moves. And they've been ready to make some big moves since July, when they made their big moves by acquiring Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, and Jock Landale.
Well, and disgraced coach Ime Udoka.
Disgraced coach Ime Udoka. I mean, but, like, they're star hunting. They always want to be star hunting. But they didn't really – there weren't really all that many stars to hunt this – well, I guess there were, but they weren't going to trade for
Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard. That was kind of the main – or and they didn't want James Harden, the biggest star – Houston's ever seen. Well, Houston, I only talk to strip club owners, basically the same people I talk to when I want to know how people in Houston feel about John Morant.
You mean that's people all in Memphis feel about John Morant, but yes, yeah.
Also in Houston. I mean, he's got a rep everywhere now, Joey. Okay, but they've been talking about how they wanted to add somebody, and the general rumor was that they want to trade Jalen Green, because he's sort of bad at everything on a basketball court right now. Now, I mean, he's still young. It is only year three, but he's the team's better with him off the court. And
you know what he's very good at, though?
What's that?
Getting people to be mad at Bill Simmons.
That's true. He can rally a fan base against a podcaster like no one else. Well, and actually NBA players get mad at that, too. No, Bill, I think Bill gets to vote on some of the awards, so he can't bet on them. Although, do you think he bets on them?
Yes, of course
he definitely bets on them.
Sean, actually, I brought him up. I'm sorry, but now I have to ask you. Did you hear that clip from his podcast about how his son was selling brain pills that he bought from Joe Rogan? Oh. Okay, just making sure.
I always listen to Bill and Cousin Sal. Every other episode is maybe not always a must listen. I don't really like imaginary gambling as much. I like guessing the lines. That's a tangible. But also, I think maybe Million Dollar Picks is less charming because they don't really keep track of anything. And he's like a $100 millionaire now.
Either way, Ben Simmons, Bill Simmons.
Ben Simmons selling brain
alpha
pills.
Brain supplements because he listens to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean... Spotify family has got to hook up each other's businesses, I guess. Bill's been a little softer on Rudy Gobert since the sale, I have to say, because he's Joe Rogan's number one fan. Okay, so that was the sort of like the idea was that the Rockets were willing to trade Jalen Green, but there's not a guy to trade for them exactly, because they want to use all these extra picks they have, because they have too many extra picks at this point, because they've been wheeling and dealing and getting assets. But there's not really an all-star available right now.
Right.
You know, and they apparently don't want Zach LaVine, who they could probably trade for. And other than that, I'm not really sure. They're not going to trade for DeJounte Murray. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure who. Anyway,
well, Trae Young will be available in 3 months here, so don't worry. That's
I mean, look,
Rockety guy.
Well, it's just a funny thing that got leaked to three different athletic reporters that they were shopping. And then the article's like, well, actually, they don't like these guys that much. So, but the one thing that they really wanted was Twin Towers, because that's what Ime Udoka did with Robert Williams and Al Horford in Boston. And Alperen Sengun is really great, but he's not really like a rim protector. So the idea is that guy can shoot from 16 feet. He doesn't really shoot threes, but he's a good, like, shooter in a way that existed, that was important before 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So basically they want a tough guy who can make their defense less sucky, but also let them play Sengun. And they talked about bringing back Clint Capella. They had talked about trading for Robert Williams, who was also out for the year. And instead, they made a move for Steven Adams.
Who was out for the year, we should
Who was also out for the year. And they traded Victor Oladipo, who is out for the year. I mean, he's not officially out for the year, but why would he? He's out for the year.
Poor Victor Oladipo, man.
Yeah, it sucks, man. He got a bad knee injury in the first round of the playoffs last year. It's not like he's malingering or anything, and also maybe didn't get the best medical advice about his quad tendon many years ago.
That was the other time. All right.
Anyway, and Memphis got a couple second round picks, and they are basically third round picks. Yeah, they are basically third round picks. None of them are good.
The Golden State Warriors second rounder they got is hilarious. Did you see the protection on that pick, Sean?
It's like it only conveys if it's like 55 through 60 or something.
No, it's protected 56 to 58.
Wait, so it only conveys,
but the Golden State Warriors keep it if it's a 50, if it's 56, 57, or 58.
Wow. I just feel like was one of the GMs on Molly when they completed, because this could be a situation where they're selling off pieces of the protection like the Suns do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's amazing. I would say this makes a lot more sense than the Rockets like trading for Zach LaVine. It feels like, I mean, look, Jalen Green's going to get traded this summer. I think that's very likely. But, did you also see they tried to trade for Mikal Bridges?
I did, yeah.
So, apparently the Nets, like, weren't even listening to the offer. But hilariously, usually when you make kind of a, what they call it, a godfather offer, you overwhelm the team that maybe doesn't want to trade their guy by giving them so much stuff. And the Rockets at this point have the Nets first-round pick the next 4 years. You know, two of them are pick swaps, and then two of them they have outright. And apparently the Rockets offered to trade them almost all those picks back that they got from the Harden trade. And that's the mistake. You need to offer all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then maybe they think about trading it, but you can't be like, I got 4 year picks, and you know what? You can have any three of them back. You want it's not good strategy. But I do think them getting Steven Adams is tight for next year. It's just weird that this was a deadline deal.
Yeah.
It's
weird. What are the Grizzlies doing?
they screwing up, basically. They've had all these picks. This is maybe going to be boring. This isn't going to be boring. I just want to look at what Memphis has done in the past couple years.
Like two seasons?
Two seasons of transactions. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to read some of them that seem like they're kind of...
2 years ago, they were the two seed, correct?
Yeah, they were the two seed in 2021-22, and they went into... the draft. Hold on, I gotta go back just very briefly here. They won 56 games, they lost 26 games, had a real shot against the NBA champion Warriors.
But they
made a bunch of draft deals where they this is what they decided to do for their young, promising team. They traded
D'Anthony Melton.
Like draft day deals. They traded D'Anthony Melton for Danny Green and David Roddy, who was the 23rd pick in the draft that year. Yeah. They also traded the 22 and 29 first round picks, which is Walker Kessler and Ty Washington Jr., for Jake LaRavia and a second round pick this year. They also added Vince Williams Jr.
And which that looks like it's working out. He's good.
They've just added, but just overall, yeah. I think we can just say that they added, they made some deals with their draft capital to get Jake LaRavia, David Roddy. I mean, they also got GG Jackson eventually in that. And then Danny Green's contract. He was not really playing for them. So that was a let's push things to the future. They also waived Tyrell Terry. Was somebody?
I mean, there was no telling that the Memphis conglomerate, Better Business Bureau, would set up Ja Morant the way they have.
Yeah,
though
that's so true. That is true. But they did add
conspiracy theory against Ja Morant. By those ducks that walk through that hotel.
Well, that sucks. Yeah, why did they go after him? So yeah, they had a number two seed team and they added five rookies. Mm-hmm. Then they traded a bunch of second round picks. They drafted three second round picks to get Luke Kennard, and
who's been fine. He's
mostly
Luke
been
Kennard.
Hurt. Though he shot really well for the team last year. This year he has played 21 games.
Yeah.
So that's not great. Again, it's just second round picks. They needed 3-point shooting. And then they drafted and traded. They traded Tyus Jones. They traded the 25th pick of this year's draft, Marcus Sasser. And they traded next year's first round pick. I think that's the Warriors pick.
Yes.
To get now Marcus to Smart. And so that was all for Marcus Smart. They traded Tyus Jones and two first round picks to get.
And they also let Dylan Brooks walk because he was too embarrassing.
Yeah. And they gave Desmond Bane a big contract. So right now on the books, they've got they do anything else interesting? Oh, they ditched Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah, well, and
they also traded 2 second round picks and Isaiah Todd for a really weird protected pick swap with the Suns.
Then they also waived one of their young heroic guys that they kept, everyone kept talking up in Kenneth Lofton Jr.
That's right.
Waved him.
They did waive him. Yeah. What did they actually get in this?
It's Bismack Biyombo. What I want to say is, like, what's their plan now?
Oh, and they signed Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. That's important. What is their plan now? It's weird because this is not a team that like should be reeling, and they feel like they're reeling.
Which is weird to me because I feel like watching them now. Like I watch like Vince Williams and I'm like, oh, this is finally that fifth guy they've been searching for. He's been really good. He's a little small to play the three, but like he plays tough defense. He hits threes. He's awesome.
That's true, but they don't really have a center right now.
Right, that's my question. And now they've traded Steven Jackson. I thought they were just going to come back and be the old Grizzlies team next year.
So here's,
just thought this was like a weird pause year, but now I'm not so sure.
Well, they've got Ja and Desmond Bane will make about $71 million combined next year. Jaren Jackson makes 25. Marcus Smart makes 20. By the way, just a meteorological note, it is hailing in Oakland, California right now. That does not happen a lot here.
No.
But yeah, and then Brandon Clark makes 12.
Yeah.
Now, this is, I guess they're just cutting money for next year. And well, I guess they're getting
the idea maybe just to play Jaren at center now.
They do. It just seems like he doesn't like doing that and they don't like him doing that.
Well, yeah, because he gets 4 rebounds a game.
That is tough. And Steven Adams is basically built for rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like something that they would maybe miss if he wasn't there. Now, you know, Brandon Clark is pretty good, but he will be coming off an Achilles tear. Mm-hmm. And I guess they have... It's just weird because they had a lot of future picks,
mm-hmm.
and they sort of did what you almost don't want to do, which is locking up some guys who are like not necessarily cheap. You know what I mean? Like, like Zaire Williams, I get the idea, but he makes like $7 million next year, and that's kind of what you don't want. And so, you know, next year they can swap picks with the Suns or Wizards, but they don't have like a bunch of extra picks. You know what I mean? They have 2 pick swaps. And so,
well, they have,
I mean,
all these seconds.
It kind
now.
Of feels like if everybody's healthy, they're still really good.
Yes. That's, you know, why I'm confused by this.
Because it doesn't seem like, I guess I don't totally know where like the luxury tax is or if they're pushing on something, but doesn't it kind of seem like, I don't know, like you have like Santi Aldama and John Conchar and like, I guess Tillman can be a free agent at the end of the year. It's just weird because everybody is also signed for at least through next season, except for Tillman. I mean, I guess they've got to figure out what they're doing with Vince Williams Jr. and Gigi Jackson, but that's not like a tough decision to give those. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
they're just putting them.
It
on
feels
next
like they're not
team.
Really in a salary crunch. You know what I mean? Because Luke Kennard's contract is a team option next year. So it just feels like a weird. I get that they did it, but like, wouldn't you just rather have Steven Adams next year?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he's more hurt than we know. I don't know. And also maybe they have some big plan. Maybe tomorrow they're going to trade for Nick Claxton. I don't know. Nick Claxton, who is available and who's pretty good.
right, like that seems
that might be the plan here, you know what I mean, or to trade for Wendell Carter Jr. or whatever.
I don't know if it does. Nick Claxton have like a weirdly thick NBA body though?
No,
see, that's what Memphis wants. They're looking for that Lou Gehrig body, Joey.
All right, that was there was
just
one...
a weird deadline deal though.
Yeah, there was one more trade.
Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to say, too. Oh, yeah. It's, do you think Robert Williams is hurt a little bit that they didn't try to make this trade with Portland for him? Or do you think he is relieved to not have Ime Udoka yelling at him?
Wait, ask me that again?
Robert Williams would be the obvious too big guy, like a guy who's on the block and out for the year and played for him. Do you think he's hurt that they didn't try to make a move for him, or is he relieved to not be yelled at as much?
But now that you're saying that, maybe the Grizzlies are just going to trade for Rob Williams.
Yeah, maybe that's the 3D chess move.
Yeah,
it's gonna be Zaire Williams and 7 second round picks. Okay, what's the other trade, Joey?
NBA Twitter yesterday traded their dignity to believe some rando reporter from KTLA saying the Lakers are going to trade LeBron James.
I mean, Lakers Twitter is such an exciting place because Okay, so this guy's name, Joey, do you know what his name is?
It's funny, I'll tell you that.
It's much. David Pingelor.
Yeah, it's David Pingelor. Which, I want to make it clear, no shade on David Pingelor. Like, do your weird Twitter thing, man.
Everybody loves the slop.
Yeah, we love the slop. I will say David Pingelor, his Twitter bio is bizarre. It's KTLA sports anchor and reporter 25 years from Jacksonville to Johnstown in Scranton, PA, then to Cleveland for LeBron James' early years, Orlando, then to LA.
I do not know where Johnston is.
Me either. By the way. Anyway, so David Pingelor tweeted that the Lakers were their number one priority was to trade LeBron James. And then all of NBA Twitter went through all of David Pingelor's old tweets, and they were like, he called Kawhi going to the Clippers. He also called LeBron going back to the Cavs from the Heat. We got a ping bomb. The Lakers are trading LeBron James.
Yeah, well, I guess welcome back to South Beach, LeBron James, Rozier, Butler, Adebayo, James, Jaquez, Tyler Hero, enjoy your time in Los Angeles.
I mean,
Reeves Hero backcourt. That's how they trick the Boston Celtics into trading Jason Tatum for those two guys.
I was trying to think about this, though. Like, our friend Julian, who's a Lakers fan, was like, we were trying to figure out what LeBron James' value even would be. And he was like, well, let's like walk this through as, you know, the Warriors the best. Like, would you trade CP3's contract, Kuminga, and a first for LeBron James? And I was like, I don't know. It feels like both too much and too little.
Right.
Like, there's just no way to, like, value that.
Yeah, he's, like, untradeable in a way that isn't like, I mean, he is, I guess that's like the true definition of untradeable, is that you can't even really put a price on it. Like, well, I mean, and you think of the same way, like, okay, construct a fair trade for Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, right.
Like, like 14 first round picks? Is that, I mean, I don't even know.
Joel Embiid and two firsts?
Yeah, or like Chet Holmgren, Lou Dort and
Jalen Williams, good Jalen Williams. Yeah.
This reporter is probably really plugged in for it. And apparently he was motivated by LeBron James being out for the game in TD Garden. So he automatically thought it's happening right now. They got to hold him out of this game.
Yeah, yeah.
So LeBron doesn't get hurt and scuttle this deal. By the way, shout out to Austin Reeves for tearing it up in Boston in front of those fans on the first day of Black History Month. Congratulations, Hillbilly Kobe, for your 7 3-point performance, shaming Peyton Pritchard in front of those anti-bus freaks.
Anti-busing freaks. There was a period in the Lakers-Warriors game this week where Austin Reeves and Brandon Podziemski were kind of trading buckets and guarding each other. And I was like, this is like watching Gummo and Julian Donkey Boy back to back.
Like, if you're a white guy in the NBA, that kind of white guy, you almost have to like never cut your hair or go extremely hard with your haircut. Like, there's no middle ground. You have to be like Austin Reeves, just great clips all the time in a farmer tan. Brandon Podziemski, just crazy hair. Or you have to like be Gordon Hayward and get your haircut every 4 days.
What you can't do is have a little boy's haircut like Domantas Sabonis, and that's why he didn't make the All-Star team.
Yeah, they're we can't have this.
He
it's
has
not
a little
day.
Boy's haircut. In fact,
he lost out on $1.3 million too, Joey.
What? Say that again.
He had an All-Star bonus of $1.3 million that he did not get.
That's upsetting. Yeah. That the leads Vex. Us to our news. Ooh. But before we get to the news drop, some business off the top. Late business today. Round Rock Pod at, on Twitter. roundrockpod@gmail.com is our email. Call us on the phone, the number in the description. But more importantly, tomorrow, Saturday, we are recording a Patreon crossover episode with the Utah Jazz podcast Unsalvageable. And they want to do a call-in show, so we need your calls. And it's a different number that time. The call-in show for that is 385-381-0790. That's American country code for all you international sickos out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what's that country code?
The United States of America, this country code don't run.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I was holding up one finger forgetting this was an audio podcast. Yeah. I almost started chanting we're number one.
Again, that number is 385-381-0790. Ask Dad Sham Dad any question you want. He's very lonely. We've got more Reachers coming soon on the Patreon. We had a guest trick us into said he was going to do it, and then he told us he was busy at 7 a.m. when Sean and I were both asleep.
We'll get someone else who truly cares about art,
yeah,
and cinema.
And then go watch our spaces. I'm gonna be doing some CineNurdle 2 battle mode.
Streaming
mode. I just haven't figured out how to do it. And it won't be like that time I said I was going to Marvel Snap stream and then never did. This time I'm actually going to do it. But Sean, that brings us to...
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Right, Sean, we had the All-Stars were announced and DeMontis Sabonis didn't make it. Let's just roll these off real quick and then we've got to get Bruno on this episode here.
Yeah.
In the West, your starters are Luka Doncic, SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the man who I'm telling you is going to win the MVP, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Nikola Jokic. Coming off the bench, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Anthony Davis.
Can I give you an SGA hot take, Joey?
Yeah.
That guy is a flop merchant. Oh, my God. He snaps his head like he has a neurological disorder. Like, he is going to hurt. He's going to Embiid himself, and he's going to hurt himself pretending to be hurt on a foul call. He is like at Harden Reeves level right now. And it's, I got to say, I think the tide is going to start turning because of Anthony Edwards. But those guys seem like all-stars to me.
They all seem like all-stars. It's kind of weird that I will say it's pretty weird that the Clippers are so good and Kawhi Leonard did not make the all-star team.
He did make the all-star team.
He did? Did I read that wrong? Oh, yeah, I read Kawhi. My mistake.
Kawhi was
James
first
Harden,
coach pick.
But yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. James Harden did not.
I said Kawhi, I meant James Harden.
Look, you don't.
He's not very
James
good,
Harden,
so
just,
he's
you
just
don't
famous.
Get, you don't get to be an all-star when you, like, every year you sit out and force a trade, you can't make the all-star team. I think he still made it that year
he did.
Got his coach fired, right?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
you have to make some choices. Playing in the all-star game. Also, James Harden didn't want to go.
No.
He wanted to make it. He didn't want to actually go to Indianapolis because... I just don't think that Club Rio is a safe place for NBA players anymore. And that's where he would go.
All right. And then in the East, we have Dane Halliburton. Halliburton, by the way, I am afraid of what he's going to wear to these All-Star festivities. The clothing choices he's making are... He looked like M. Bison the other day.
He's like, if Alfonso Ribeiro got, like, an Amex Black card.
Yeah.
There was no rules about what he wore.
Jason Tatum, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid, who will be missing this game... Which will it means he won't play in 65 All-Star games, which means he doesn't make the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's true. That's the limit. You have to make that or you're not even on the ballot.
You have to make 65 All-Star games or you can't make the Hall of Fame. I almost said Davion Mitchell, Sean, when you... there's a list here and it just says Mitchell. And I almost said Davion Mitchell was an East All-Star. But Mitchell...
He may be traded to the Eastern Conference by the time this podcast is up, but...
Mitchell, Maxi, Brunson, Randall, and Jaylen Brown, Bam Adebayo, and Paolo Banchero.
Yeah.
These all look pretty good to me.
Guess someone's going to sub for Embiid, I guess. It'll be some center... Does Miles Turner make it for the home game?
Oh, I don't think so.
Probably not.
It's
kind of sad that Sabonis didn't make it in front of his old fans, too.
Sean, I heard you. First question I have for you is, are you disappointed that this All-Star game is just going to be a game of basketball and not an overly complicated SAT-level math problem where you don't know the variables?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough because everyone wanted to find out who was on these randomly selected teams minutes before the game began and then wear jerseys that don't indicate what team they're on at all. And then the names will be on the back of the jerseys in extremely tiny type. Plus, teams will be playing for a quarter score that denies money to like a section full of little kids. So, yeah, this is just a regular game where the East plays the West. And it's funny because normally the NBA makes a lot of decisions that seem like they're bending towards the will of the biggest nerds on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Now they're not. I think it'll be better this way. Well, I also like that they're like, well, look, Indiana was not going to be able to stand for it. That was Adam Silver's excuse. He's like, this is a traditional basketball town. It's like, yeah, you know what else is a traditional basketball town? America.
I will say, Sean, I have a prediction.
Yes.
Steph Curry is going to lose that fake three-point shot to Sabrina Ionescu. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I guess we'll get into that
all
later.
All of Steph Curry's... Look, a lot of people on Twitter would claim that the most Steph Curry's most embarrassing moments all take place in the NBA Finals, but they're incorrect. They all happen at the All-Star game. He once lost a three-point shootout to Paul Pierce. He had that terrible... He had one of the most embarrassing, weird mini drinking games ever, and everyone made fun of him for weeks.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. He had to make a half court shot for the Sager Foundation, and he missed 9 half court shots in a row.
He once lost that Taco Bell scholarship for that kid in the
Skills Challenge. He won the Skills Challenge.
Very sad. No, this was the other time he was in the Skills Challenge.
Why did he do it again? After he won the Skills Challenge. Jesus, man. He also lost to Klay Thompson in a final one.
But yeah, the About Last Night commercial he made with his wife. And was it John Legend and Chrissy Teigen? It was some other famous couple.
Yeah, that game is...
Offset and somebody, I don't know, was... One
Look,
of
that
the
show's
worst
sexy
things
and fun.
Seen that weird, dirty show that they
dirty
made.
Show about last night. That song that actually was originally titled "Sexual Perversity in Atherton."
Yeah, it was.
That is a deep cut for
the horny Christian talk hour.
So, I have a question for you, Joey.
Yes.
Do you care about people who made or didn't make the All-Star game?
No, absolutely not. No. The All-Star game does not matter. We need to stop acting like it matters. Like, I honestly fully believe that they need... Well, first off, there shouldn't be All-Star bonuses in anyone's contract. And the fans should be able to vote for all 12 spots. And if they want to put in, like, joke people, let them.
So Zaza Pachulia would be a two-time All-Star.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious. What's wrong with that? Because the All-Star game doesn't matter.
It is funny, too, that the coaches have kind of just decided that they're just not going to put in players who are really boring at an All-Star game. Like, Rudy Gobert had a very good All-Star case, but the coaches were just like, nobody wants to see that. Like, oh, the guy who's anchoring the best defense in the league on the best Western Conference team is like, yeah, but he's Rudy Gobert. What is he going to do in the All-Star game? And so they rightly kept him home.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, like, Sabonis. I mean, honestly, Jokic and Doncic also aren't going to do anything in this All-Star game. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
That's perfect. Now let's go, Sean, to the actual big news.
Yes.
The day. The San Antonio Spurs had a bat in their arena again.
What?
Again. It feels like it happens every year. And this is all I've wanted to talk about all week. Let's bring in Spurs expert, one of our favorite people in the world, Bruno Passos. Bruno, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, obviously for joining story.
Bat chat. It's the first edition.
It's about time. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. I've been thinking about you guys actually quite a bit lately because I'm trying to a daily soup. So reminds me every time of the famous Bill Simmons straw.
It's the perfect food.
Definitely.
What daily soups have you tried here in the last few days?
So I'm going to be telling on myself a little bit here because my wife does a lot of the meal preps, and I've sort of adopted the lingo that we use for how we refer to foods with our kids. So the only thing I can tell you is one is called favorite soup and one is called green soup, but they're filled with, I'm told, nothing but the good stuff, which is, you know, the easiest, most efficient way to get me those foods. So
yeah,
all right, Bruno.
It might be the perfect food, Joey.
Let's talk about that.
Evidence is mounting.
I mean,
talk bats.
I'll tell you that there is a perfect way to catch a bat in an arena, and it does not involve giving a psychotic, drugged up mascot a net and having everyone watch him chase it.
So is that the default procedure for the Spurs?
Every year, this is their plan invasion? To get the bat out, right? They sick a coyote on it.
I've seen different, like, sort of attempts of this. Like, I have seen in the past they had a much larger net that looked, you know, for lack of a better term, like a badminton net with two poles. They had it on the side. I don't remember if they actually utilized it, but they were ready to use it. They've had, I think, proper experts around at times, but I think at the end of the day, like, do you want to see someone in a jumpsuit, a bit more professional looking, way too dignified, making these, you know, dignified attempts at swinging at this flying creature? Or do you want, like you just said, this someone in a suit with bloodshot eyes, big smile, and just going
no pants,
no pants, and just fully swinging at it, throwing their body around? I think that's actually maybe the most efficient way to do it, when you can strip away the dignity and any concern like that, and just you know, go for it.
So yeah,
that giant net kind of seems like the 25-point rock and jock version of catching a bat. You know,
it's a bit easier, but the net still looks kind of small when you consider the sheer volume of an arena. Like, it's still not really doing enough, I think.
I don't understand how they can catch a bat ever.
Let's talk about bats first off. My question, Bruno, you lived in San Antonio. Why so many bats? Like, how are bats constantly getting in this arena? Is Greg Popovich actually a vampire? Is that what's happened here?
So credit to Chris Herring, who's written for a few outlets. I think he did this for, I think, 538, and he covered this. He went into the background on why bats in San Antonio. There's a massive colony, something like 70 miles north of San Antonio, of Mexican free-tailed bats. For a bit of background, I think that houses over a million of them.
By the way, no one should ever tell Donald Trump this news. Doesn't that seem like something he'd talk about for a year? Mexican bats,
these migration patterns
at the border.
Absolutely not. Yeah, but no, you see them, you know, all around San Antonio, and I mean, there must be some vulnerabilities in the building, and they get in, and it's become something of a frequent thing where you just
it
see
happens
them.
Like once a year, right? It feels like it.
On average, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's frequent enough to where it's just like, oh, there it is. And the crowd kind of reacts like, oh, you know, came in on a good night.
Like,
now, is this?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my. It happens often enough that they have to keep a Batman suit and a big net on call for the coyote mm-hmm. at any moment.
Yeah. It's there in the wardrobe. They're ready to go. Yeah. And Coyote, who, you know, these mascots are just crazy talented already. And you just have to add, you know, I don't know if they have to get some sort of certification for this, but the Coyote's ready to go with that net and the suit. And I think pretty damn good at actually, you know, pinning it down.
Now, so I have one question. Does this have anything to do with that time when Tim Duncan was a little kid and his parents went to the opera and the coyote murdered them?
Maybe. It could be that, yeah. It's an event every time. It's a fun spectacle, and you know, the Spurs are good because they combine you know, something that has a bit of social utility with entertainment for everyone watching.
Well, and it's another way for them to rest their players illegally, which is something they love to invent.
they're hibernating. They're not resting or defying, right? Don't bats hibernate, Joey?
I don't know.
They're mammals.
Here's a question. The famous game when LeBron James was so hot in San Antonio that LeBron James was cramping. Did the bats turn the AC off in the Heat locker room?
Could be. It could be that the you know, arena ops just has these levers to pull. Someone needs a rest. Something levers. Needs to happen. Yeah.
It's like a confetti drop. They can drop a bat in the arena
exactly.
at any time.
I wasn't paying attention if this was when Victor was maybe needing a little bit of extra rest and they just released the bat. You know, who's to say?
So is this something that happens as a resident of San Antonio? Do you have anti-bat preventative measures in your own home?
No, sadly, no. I'm as freaked out about them as I think the average person, but
oh, Manu Ginobili hiding in your closet to slap it down when you get in there.
If only. No, we've got like a little umbrella in our backyard, and I have you know, once kind of one of those kind of large ones that you can kind of wheel, you know, turn open, and I have seen a sleeping bat in there once, and it freaked me out thoroughly, even though it's about 3 inches large and pretty sleepy.
I've got to say, I once heard a scary podcast about rabies, and I learned, because rabies is like 100% deadly in humans, and I heard once that if you ever wake up in a room or a tent and a bat is in your room or tent, you have to catch the bat and get it tested for rabies, because a bat can bite you and you don't feel it.
Wow.
But that's a lot of lore.
Yeah.
That's something that, you know, people don't consider when this little novelty thing happens in the Spurs game.
Yeah, what
it,
if the bat is rabid? But you know what? You already have a rabid coyote mascot chasing
that's
it.
That's true.
So
yeah, so
rabies fights rabies, right?
It's kind of hat on a hat, yeah.
Yeah. You needed to destroy one monster, you needed another.
Bruno, I guess we'll ask you one more question that's not bat related here.
What?
Did Greg Popovich get bit by a rabid bat and that's why he played Jeremy Sochan at point guard for 35 games?
It went on for a little bit longer than some people might have said it should. Yeah. You know, who's to say? He's I feel like if someone could take, you know, a rabid bite and just keep on ticking, it's probably Greg Popovich. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, entirely possible.
I mean,
it's sure actually part CIA of your CIA training. Yeah. They're like, who knows when someone might get you bitten by a bat and get you reveal information. That's why he's like that with sideline reporters. He flashes back to his training. And he's like, you would have to waterboard me.
He's like, I will not let you tell know you about what the I think banana, I'm going to change in the banana second takeover in Venezuela or whatever.
Yeah, like I know he knows where the bodies are buried, and he knows where the bodies of the bats are buried too. Yeah,
exactly. That's why they never cut to Pop when the bat comes in. He's actually, his eyes are in the back of his head, and he's warging to them or whatever.
Have there been any other animals that got loose in San Antonio that you remember?
I remember a
snake.
Yeah, there was a snake in someone's locker at one point.
There was. I wish I could tell you when that was. I feel like we've had birds flying around in the arena before, you know, probably through the same hole that the bats get in. But beyond that, I think that probably covers it. That's probably enough wildlife that the team wants to deal with.
Yeah, the Blazers found a snake in their locker in 2014. It was Thomas Robinson specifically.
Okay. And it was during the playoffs too. So that's kind of intimidating.
Yeah. I don't know how that happens.
Honestly, great, great quote here from Thomas Robinson. He said, I was scared. I ain't gonna lie. I was scared. I screamed and leaped, quote, about 5 feet high and 20 feet back.
I'd hope somebody would have asked Danny Green about it. Noted snake enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Williams at the time tweeted, we get in the locker room and it's a damn snake. Yeah, a snake in the locker room. Man, we was scared as hell.
Yeah, I don't know. The lockers are underground. No idea. That requires its own Chris Herring deep dive, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was not a rattlesnake. They thought it was a rattlesnake, but it was...
Everybody thinks everything's a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Although I my dog once, well, not my dog, but my sister's dog, while I was taking care of the dog, like fully stepped on a rattlesnake once. And I think the snake was just like confused by the audacity and didn't do anything and like rattled like 3 seconds later after the dumb dog was like, oh, okay.
Well, that's, you really dodged a bullet there, Sean. You can't.
I could have been killed by a rattlesnake.
Well, not
because
that.
Because of a dog named Snuggles Muffin.
I'm just saying, the last thing you want to do is be dog sitting for someone and have their dog get bit by a rattlesnake. They'll never.
Oh, I thought you meant like me getting bit by a rattlesnake.
No,
I'm
telling you.
No, it's much worse to be dog sitting and have the dog die.
Well, then you have to suck the venom out of the dogs, right? Isn't that what you do in a movie? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or you pee on
or you get the coyote to come and provide, you know, on the spot first response.
This was actually going to be a question I had for you, Bruno. Oh. If you got bit by a rattlesnake and you had to pick any member of the San Antonio Spurs to suck the venom out, which San Antonio Spur would do the best job?
On the spot. Oh God, no! Pass.
It's Tyus Jones, or not Tyus Jones. It's the Trey Jones. That's the obvious answer. He's responsible.
I think it's Jeremy Sohan, but you tell him that this is part of playing point guard because he'd really suck.
I hate that.
In your
All right.
face, Sohan.
That's our episode. Thank you for coming on, Bruno. Bruno, please plug any non-bat related content you'd like to talk about, you'd like our listeners to read.
Yeah, you can find my writing at poundingtherock.com.
Yeah, love poundingtherock.com. Love Bruno Passos. We've asked him to come on several times. He's never said yes before, but for some reason, this is the one he was like, I'll talk about
the
bats.
Spurs, have the Spurs considered trying to pound the bat with a rock? Because that could work, but it would be... Actually, that's an awful spectacle, and I'm very sorry. That is worse than playing an NBA player a tribute video against his will, which the Brooklyn Nets did this week.
Wait, what? I missed that story.
The Kevin Durant thing?
No, I missed that completely.
Oh, he just didn't want the Nets to play a tribute video. Basically, some big Nets account had a poll that was like, does Kevin Durant deserve a tribute video? Mm-hmm. And the poll was like 55% no. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Durant chimed in the comments on Twitter and it's like, yeah, the Nets would be better without that. And then some guy said, should he really, he had more trade requests than playoff series wins, and Kevin Durant's like, yep, no video. And then they showed the video. I think everybody should get a tribute video all the time. It's not like they're we have like such an overwhelming amount of Jumbotron content that we can't do that. Although there was a great story that after the Aaron Gordon trade, the Nuggets had this like beautiful 2.5 minute video thanking Gary Harris and showing his highlights and talking about how he changed the culture. It was really nice. And then like 10 minutes later, there was one for RJ Hampton, who had played 25 games for the team. And Harris just looks at him. He's like, I can't believe he got a goddamn tribute video.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll never forgive the Golden State Warriors for not showing a Jason Richardson tribute video when he came back with the Bobcats.
Yeah, they just didn't have as many tribute videos back
then.
No,
that's not what happened, Sean. You don't remember
Chris
what
Webber?
Happened. Chris, it was the night they re-signed Chris Webber, and they were afraid the fans were going to boo Chris Webber, so they just introduced them together, and everyone was like, but we want to boo Chris Webber and cheer for Jason Richardson.
Yeah.
Once again, wow. Chris Webber ruining my life. All right, Bruno.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on to talk about bats. I hope your house stays bat-free.
By the way, if a bat comes back, they should show a tribute video to the other times the bat invaded.
Yeah. Actually, will you pitch that to the Spurs?
Pitch that to the Spurs.
They should, yeah. And an in-memoriam one for the one that Monty.
Yeah, like you play the 2 years ago. The Fast 7 song. Yeah. It's like, it's been days. Without you, my bat.
Okay. That's our episode. Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
I want to plug my album, which is coming out on March 15th. You can pre-order starting on Valentine's Day. I'll also be at the Chaminade Resort and Spa in Santa Cruz, California on February 24th. If anyone wants to come check that out. And put me on your podcast to promote this album. If you listen.
Yes, have Sean on your podcast. He'll go on any podcast.
Literally any podcast. I can pretty much talk about a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And then as for me, you can always follow
me. Bruno plugged something.
Bruno did. Oh, Pounding the Rock.
I did.
Is that all?
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you want to plug anything else,
barely,
Bruno?
And no, barely that these days.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 5 days ago I tweeted, I need an Ford F-350. What for? I guess hauling all the candles, then olive oils. From that store he closed.
He sold it. Outrageous olive oil.
Sean, is there anything? Did you write a song?
I didn't, but Bruno actually inspired the song that will be on the next episode. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good.
I know what it is. Fun. Bruno gave Sean the title and Sean ran with it. It's really good, but that's for next week. Once again,
Play the campaign song?
Yes, I can play the campaign song. And before we announce the title of the campaign song,
Forever Spur campaign.
Okay. Just a reminder, we're doing our call in our Ask Greg Dad Sham Dad questions Patreon episode tomorrow. Call us on the phone 385-381-0790. We will answer any question. Well, Sean and I will not answer any question, but Greg will answer any question.
I think I'll answer any question.
Well, you don't have as much to hide as I do, I guess.
Oh.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. All-star announcements are done.
Well, you're not the best, but Chris Paul needs a rest campaign. When you print overseas, now you don't miss from three campaign. He's alright, he's alright, he's alright campaign. Got down for Doug McDee campaign. When you're dancing is cute, but you keep breaking your foot campaign. He's alright, he's alright, he's alright campaign.
This is a big year for the Phoenix Suns. Anthony Davis is hobbled, the Nuggets are struggling, and there's a huge opportunity in the West. They've got great young players, and Chris Paul is still an all-star, but he's 35 years old. That means the Suns' window is closing, and they've got to keep that window open. Take it from me, Eric Clapton. You cannot shut the window. Keep that window open, no matter who is playing there. This team will never fall back to earth. Just so long as you keep that window open, you owe it to these kids. I mean, worst case scenario is you win a bunch of Grammys singing sad acoustic songs about the lost season. Say, do you think they'll make a Lethal Weapon 5? I have a new blues composition called Leo Gets His Theme. That's Joe Pesci's character. He's so good and with honors. When you're not making bank, but you know Frank the Tank campaign. When you never miss, but you get lots of assists campaign. He's alright, he's alright, he's alright campaign. He don't start, he don't start, he don't start campaign.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.